Let's talk to Nota Begay. He joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line from the Golf Channel and NBC Sports. College golf is going on here in town. Nota, we'll talk about your buddy Tiger in a second, but first of all, thanks for coming on. And second of all, tell us what's going on at Eastlake.
Well, yeah, we're about to start the match play portion of the Eastlake Cup. It's just a wonderful display of college golf. You've seen some of the top players, top teams in the country. Yesterday, University of Texas on the men's side went out and just put on a wonderful display, 10 under as a team, over a pretty difficult Eastlake Golf Club layout. So the match play portion is all set today. So we have some decent matches going out, and we'll produce two teams that will go to the finals on both the men's and the women's side, and that will be aired tomorrow. Coverage today starts at 3 p.m. Eastern.
On the Golf Channel, and again, if you want to go watch it, it is complimentary. In other words, it's free admission.
Hey, Nota,
can't get much for free. It's not a bad deal.
No, you're right. When a guy walks up to you and says he's a scratch golfer, what's your first thought when a guy says he's scratch?
I usually think he's full of it. In most cases,
they are.
Yeah, and then I sort of just kind of hear, do they play at their club? Do they play at a lot? A lot of players are scratch golfers at their home club.
Thank you.
But then you take them to another course where they don't know every yardage or every break in the green, and, they'll shoot 75. So
here's what I've noticed. Tell me if this is true. Most guys, when they're not at the golf course, their handicap is better. When they're actually getting ready to figure out how many strokes you're going to give them, all of a sudden they bump their handicap the other way, do they not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most matches are won on the first tee. So you got to be a good negotiator, and typically, if you know the people you're playing with and you have played with them for a few years, it's usually a pretty fair match because kind of all of the BS gets weeded out, and everybody kind of knows what the actual true handicap is, and so those are usually the best matches. But if you're walking into a place and you don't know the guys that you're playing with, it can get a little interesting.
How many holes of golf do you need to watch a guy standing next to him, playing in a foursome with him, to know what kind of golfer he is?
One hole. Yeah, I could usually tell whether, even on the range, I could probably see. But if I can watch someone hit a tee shot, maybe hit an approach shot, and then see him work around the greens and hit a putt or two, it's pretty quick. I watch so much golf that it's pretty quick to sort of identify what the skill set is like after a few shots.
And it's perfect that we ask you, because you're at this event this week here with the college players. What's the fine line between being able to make a living on the tour and being a really good, maybe even an elite college golfer?
The fine line, I find, is the ability for a player to make the transition to the professional game is more in their mental approach and how much endurance they have to go from. If you look at a typical college schedule, I mean, they may play 15 events in a year. That's just about half a season for a seasoned professional golfer. So they're going to almost have to double their workload, which is the case for a lot of college student athletes that are trying to make the transition to professional sports. But just to be able to handle the constant failure, because you're going to go and play against players that have been playing on courses for years. They understand the ins and outs of professional golf, the pressure and everything that sort of goes around it. And it just takes a lot to sort of settle all of the things that are coming at you when you try and make that transition. And not everybody handles it well. There's a handful of players historically that have done some great jobs. I mean, just look at, last year we had Victor Hovland playing in this event, the Eastlake Cup. We had Matt Wolf playing in this event, and they are both having successful PGA Tour careers in their first seasons.
Nota Begay with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Of course, the Eastlake Cup Collegiate Match Play Championship taking place today. You can see live coverage on the Golf Channel from 3 to 6. It's also free if you want to go watch at Eastlake. And a lot of people watched what Tiger Woods did over the weekend, your friend in Japan. He surprised us before. All of that being said, how shocked were you to see him win and dominate in the process?
I was really surprised. I mean, he hadn't been able to practice a whole lot with the knee the way it was, and then got it worked on, and then just the turnover and the recovery between the actual surgery and then his ability to, because it's, I mean, you can't get out there. You get your knee cleaned up. I've had each of my knees worked on, you know, minor repair surgery, but, you know, it's 4 to 6 weeks before you can actually get out there and start doing anything strenuous. And so he hadn't had much time to get ready, and for him to pull his game together as quickly as he did was extremely surprising. I talked to him, texted with him after the first round, and just to ask how the knee was feeling, and he said, you know, knee stable, no pain, no restrictions in mobility. He said, I just need to clean up a few of the other pieces. And obviously he figured it out pretty quick, because he went out there and just put on kind of a display of some high caliber golf against a pretty strong field.
I want to talk about 82 in particular, but I got to tell you, when I saw that picture of young Tiger with Sam Snead, I thought it was photoshopped. I thought, no how, no way. I understand he was a prodigy, but that's Sam Snead with a, I don't know, a glass of scotch, and there's Tiger sucking on a soda. And I said, this can't be real. And then we find out that he actually played two holes of golf with him, I think, at that point.
Yeah, that was, I came across that picture last year when this, after he had won at the Tour Championship at East Lake at the end of the 2018 season. And I thought it was fake too, but you know, after asking Tiger if he remembers taking that picture, he doesn't remember it too well, but he said it was an authentic picture. So it's kind of spooky how that kind of stuff happens. And, you know, who's to know that the person you're signing an autograph for or playing a couple holes with isn't going to be the next great player.
Is it just going to be the way that it is now with Tiger? I mean, he's not going to really know week to week, tournament to tournament, how his body's going to feel. Some days he's going to feel, and some weekends he's going to feel like he did in Japan and in Augusta last year, and you're going to have a lot of weekends where he's just not going to have it.
Well, there's going to be an adjustment period. I think a couple things were a challenge last year. Is as we know now, the knee has been a problem since after that 2018 Tour Championship win at East Lake. But he was playing so well, he didn't want to try and make any adjustments. Then he goes and wins the Masters. He's like, well, I can't get surgery after I win the Masters. I need to sort of ride this thing out. And so it presented some major problems throughout the rest of the year. I mean, his play was terrible. One top 10 between the Masters and his last event at the BMW Championship. So getting that cleaned up, and now just sort of understanding the new schedule for those people that aren't aware, starting with the Players Championship in March, there's a major golf tournament every month, all the way through July, and then the FedEx Cup playoffs start. But what's going to make next calendar 2020 season even more difficult is that those players that have to or choose to represent their countries at the 2020 Olympics in Japan are going to have another huge event in between the Open Championship and the FedEx Cup playoffs. So there's not going to be much time to come up for air. And, you know, having talked to Tiger and players like Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, sort of toward the end of last year, they all mentioned to me that it was a tough adjustment to make, and they sort of felt exhausted at the end of the year. And it was reflective. You look back and just see everybody was kind of limping to the finish line, maybe with the exception of Rory, who played some of his best golf.
All right, a couple of quick things. Do you like Brooks Koepka and how he goes about his business?
I do, because what you see is what you get. The same Brooks you see in front of the cameras, the same guy you see on the range when there aren't any cameras around, or when he's walking in his rounds. Very candid, very upfront, not a lot of filters. I think it's wonderful for the game. He sort of doesn't hide behind sound bites and trying to be, I guess, the nicest or you know, most appropriate guy, I should say. And I think it's a nice, raw take on things.
Did you read Spieth's self-analysis of what went wrong with him? I'm really interested to see what he does this year. I thought he was really self-reflective. I don't know if he has answers, but it was interesting to hear him talk about what he think plagued him.
Well, Spieth is somebody that I think if you talk to anybody that really knew him well, and Coach John Fields here was Jordan Spieth's coach at University of Texas, and I've had some great discussions about Jordan, not so much specifically to what's going on with his game now, because everybody goes through that. It's just if you're a high-level player like Jordan you're going to get scrutinized more. You're going to get evaluated more. Every single player on the tour goes through the highs and the lows and goes through periods where they just can't seem to get the ball in the hole. But Jordan, in talking to his coach, just has one of the most stable mindsets in terms of his ability to kind of take a step back and give it some time. He's still extremely young, so he's starting to see some better signs. He finished tied for eighth a couple weeks ago at the event in South Korea, and I think that he's going to build off of that a little bit and then try and just get a little bit more consistency off the tee. What's really plaguing him is he just can't get the ball in the fairway on a regular basis, and it sort of hampers his ability to get that putter working.
Last one. I know that there's a lot of hard work that nobody ever sees. It's the Mondays. It's the Tuesdays. It's not just Thursday through Sunday. God willing, you get to Saturday and Sunday. At its best, when a golfer is going well, can you even describe how great a life it is to be a professional golfer?
I can't. And if you win, you know, just a handful of times, and I'm speaking from personal experience, I mean, everybody around the world is so gracious to you, just because golf is just one of those things that opens up so many doors. And we kind of joke about it, like, you know, the business community, the corporate America sort of loves its golf. It loves its golfers, but it is true. It's a wonderful game. And it's one thing. My three kids don't like golf, but they're going to learn how to play just because it's a game that can really provide some tremendous opportunity for you.
And it has for you and countless others. Nota Begay, it's always a pleasure to speak with you from the Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Don't forget the Eastlake Cup Collegiate Match Play continues today on the Golf Channel from 3 to 6. If you want to go to Eastlake and watch it, it is free admission. We'll talk again soon, Nota.
Yes, have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You do the same. Nota Begay on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Okay.